Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring training is here. There were games this weekend, and yet there are still some very high-ticket free agents sitting out there. So plenty to get to on the Major League Baseball front. And joining me right now to talk about that, he covers Major League Baseball for CBSSports.com. Mike Exisa joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Mike, it's great to have you on the show. I appreciate you making some time. I'm looking at headline sources. Harper Phil's nearing resolution in talks. What do we think the resolution is ultimately going to be? Do you think Bryce Harper is going to be a Philly, or might the Phillies walk away?
No, I think he's going to wind up with the Phillies. It just makes too much sense at this point for both Harper and the Phillies. The Phillies, they've been planning for this offseason for a few years now, and they've made some really great moves up to this point, but it feels like if they don't get Harper or Machado, who's already signed with the Padres, if they don't get one of those guys, it's going to feel like a disappointment. They have the need for that middle-of-the-order centerpiece, and once they get him, I think they're going to be maybe not the favorites in that division, but they'll certainly be in the mix. And Harper, at this point, the Phillies could offer the most money. They're the most desperate team. They have the biggest need there. So they're going to end up offering him the most money, I think. And that just, it works out perfectly for both sides. And I don't know if how long they'll haggle over things, but I think this will get done within a few, maybe 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, for a while there, you know, you had some players who were under contract to different teams. Justin Verlander tweeted about it, I know, and other players have lamented kind of the stagnancy of the free agency market the last couple of years. And lamenting the fact that these 10-year deals that had been out there for so long don't seem to get doled out anymore. But you mentioned Machado wound up getting a 10-year deal from the Padres. What do you ultimately think the Harper deal looks like?
I think Harper's got a pretty good chance to sign the biggest contract in baseball history. That's at least in terms of money. You know, Machado got 10 years and $300 million. Stanton has the record at $325 million. I think Harper will end up a little bit north of that. 10 years and like maybe 330, 340, something there. And, you know, of course, these contracts these days, they're so complicated with opt-out clauses and escalators and all this stuff. It's difficult to sometimes pin down the actual true value, the true present-day dollar value. But ultimately, I think he's going to end up getting a record guarantee. And then he should, because I think he's probably the best player. Not the best player in baseball, but I think over the next 5 years, he'll be one of the two or three best players in the game. And he's only 26 years old. This is the kind of guy you sign to big money contract. You know, a lot of the 10-year contracts that go bad, they're the contracts that go to guys who are on the wrong side of 30. Harper Machado, they're both only 26.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Talking to Mike Exisa of CBSSports.com is that, yeah, if you're going to dole out a 10-year deal, give it to a guy in his prime. Machado's deal, if I'm not mistaken, had a 5-year player, a player opt-out after 5 years in that deal. I'm curious, in 5 years, do you think Manny Machado will still be a San Diego Padre?
I do. I think the Padres, I think that was a tremendous signing for them because they have such a good farm system. It's the best farm system in baseball. It's deep, and a lot of their best prospects are guys who are going to arrive this season, or they started to arrive last season. So you're not going to be waiting 3 or 4 years for these guys to come up. They're on the cusp already. So I was already looking at them as a team that could break out in, maybe not in 2019, but in 2020 for sure. And once you add Machado on top of that, it just makes it much more likely they'll have that breakout season and contend. And I think once that happens, they're going to want to keep him. And I don't know what happens with the opt-out. Maybe he opts out for more money. Maybe he just leverages it into an extension. But yeah, I think at the very least, the Padres are going to want to keep him. And it'll make sense for him to stay there because I think the Padres are going to be a really, really good team in 2 or 3 years.
Do you think that we're headed towards a work stoppage at some point?
It certainly looks like we're heading in that direction. I don't think it's set in stone by any means. I know a lot of people now are saying it's inevitable. I don't agree with that at all, at least not yet. It just seems like if something's going to happen here, why would the owners kind of open up the CBA in the middle of the term to give the players more money? It just doesn't seem like something that'll happen. And I don't know if they could come up with some sort of solution, if they'll agree to a solution without a work stoppage. The thing for the union is for them to strike, they've got to get the entire union on board. And I'm not sure if they can do that right now. maybe in 3 years the story will be different. But right now, I'd say a work stoppage is more possible than it has been at any point in the last 20, 25 years or so. But it's definitely not inevitable at this point.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. I mean, as someone myself who grew up, you know, my formative baseball watching years, you know, I was in junior high when there was a strike in 81 and a split season, and then I was a young adult when they canceled the World Series. As someone who's gone through most of my adult years after that with labor peace in baseball, by and large, it's been a little bit strange watching baseball be the one sport that's had such peaceful labor situation between management and the players for these last couple decades, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I think both sides value. I think it's good for the game overall because nobody wants a work stoppage. It's not good for anybody, not for fans, players. Oh, nobody wins with a work stoppage. And I think everybody recognizes that. That's why I'm not sold on a work stoppage being inevitable. Yes, it's possible, and like I said, I think it's more possible now than it has been, you know, since 94. But it doesn't mean it's inevitable. And the one thing that I think is going to be a big factor here that nobody's really talking about are the TV contracts. You know, baseball, they make most of their money right now through broadcasting rights, national, local. You know, that money is all locked in. But if these huge contracts have some sort of escape clause for a work stoppage, that's going to push both sides to get a deal done because nobody wants to lose that money. So, you know, we'll see how things play out the next few years. But, yeah, I think we're definitely in for some seriously big change here with the just kind of the economic structure in baseball. And, you know, just teams are not spending as much as they once did. It's obvious. And no matter what the owners and Rob Manfred say, it's obvious. They're not spending as much, and the players are not happy about it.
No, they are not. They are not happy about it at all. Mike Exisa of CBSSports.com covers Major League Baseball, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so back to the free agency market right now, Mike. Let's say that the Bryce Harper domino falls here in the next couple days. What are the next couple most intriguing dominoes to fall, and where will they fall, do you think?
Yeah, after Harper, it's Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell. And, I mean, geez, we haven't heard anything about either guy, especially Kimbrell, who is on the short list of the best closers, not just in baseball right now, but really in baseball history. He's kind of had a historic start to his career. And in this age, I mean, teams are building around their bullpen. Starters don't throw as many innings. And as good as this guy is, it's been completely quiet around them. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. And I know there was a report, I think it was a day or two ago, that said he was considering sitting out 2019. That makes no sense. There's no chance that's going to happen. But I think ultimately, once Harper signs, I think Dallas Keuchel's going to be the next one to come off the board. And that's simply because teams always need starting pitching. And he's not the Cy Young guy he was a few years ago, but he's still really good, and he's only 31. It's not like he's 35 or 36. I think the Braves are the team to watch here for both Keuchel and Kimbrell. They have the need. They have the money. They haven't really done anything this offseason other than sign Josh Donaldson, so they make sense there. So once Harper signs, I think it'll be Harper, then Keuchel, and Kimbrell eventually. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I think it'll be before opening day.
Yeah, I know here in Houston, I know people are, they're holding out hope that, hey, if this Keuchel market doesn't form, maybe he'll come back here on a, you know, on a hometown deal or something like that. In large part because Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole, the two frontline guys for the Astros, are both free agents after this coming season. I'm just curious your thoughts on the Astros and what exactly their window is right now, given that obviously they've got great players on the team. They've got six or seven of the top 100 players in the sport. But given that Verlander and Cole are both free agents after this year, what would you say that their window is as one of the elite three or four teams in the game?
You know, even with those two becoming free agents, I think their window is still pretty wide open because they've got some really good pitching prospects coming with, you know, Forrest Whitley's probably the best pitching prospect in the game, and we'll probably see him in the second half this year. A guy like Josh James is going to get a pretty long look this year, and he's someone who could really kind of establish himself. And, you know, perfect, to be honest with you, I would be surprised if the Astros just let Verlander and Cole just walk as free agents. At the very least, I think they would make a play for Cole because he's just younger and, you know, Verlander's over 35, but who knows? Maybe they prefer Verlander because it'd be a short-term contract. But just given their talent base, I mean, their guys are, you know, Correa and Altuve and Springer. These guys are still in their 20s, and they're going to be around for a while. So I don't think the window is in danger of slamming closed anytime soon. They're going to have to figure out the rotation after the season, but they're going to be around for the long haul.
I'm curious, you mentioned Verlander and Cole, and you may have shown your hand there just with the way you talked about it, but I'll ask you the question because it's been a fairly hotly debated question here in Houston where I'm based out of. If you had to pick one or the other, maybe a three-year deal at market for Verlander or a 5 or 6 year deal at market for Cole after the 2019 season, which one would you do?
I'd probably go with Cole. And as great as Verlander is, I mean, I think Verlander's going to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I think he's 36 years old now, so you're talking about signing him until he's 39. And as good as he is, he does have all those innings on his arm. You kind of have to worry about what's coming the next few years. Whereas Cole, I mean, he's not even 30 yet, and he's basically kind of like the poor man's version of Verlander, the way he pitches, as dominant as he is. But I think I would rather hitch my wagon to the younger guy, even though you're talking a bigger contract, just because you're more likely to get these great peak years out of him. And for the Astros, you should be worried about the best possible team you could put on the field right now. And I think going forward, Cole would be the better bet just because he's younger, even though he's going to cost you more money.
Last thing before I let you go, Mike, we're talking to Mike Exisa of CBSSports.com. Have the Yankees closed the gap on the Red Sox at all this offseason, or is that Boston still the heavy favorite?
No, I think the Yankees have closed the gap. I don't think you could say either team is clearly better than the other. I really do feel like it's kind of a coin flip right now. The deciding factor here is going to be what happens with Boston's bullpen, because right now on paper it looks terrible. It's not just that it's going to be just okay. It doesn't look good at all. They lost Kimbrel. They've already lost Joe Kelly. They might lose Kimbrel. They're kind of hoping a bunch of guys they have in the minors going to come up and have an impact right away, which you know, it could happen. It's just really unlikely. It doesn't seem like a contender should build their bullpen that way. Both teams, great offenses. The Yankees, their rotation, I feel like it's really underrated. It seems like everybody just defaults and says the Yankees don't have enough pitching. I'm not sure I buy that. When J.A. Happ is your fourth starter, you're doing pretty good. And it's just going to come down to the bullpens. The Yankees clearly have an advantage there. But if the Red Sox could find some guys who they could trust in late inning situations, they're basically neck and neck here. And it'll come down to who stays healthier.
Mike Exisa, CBSSports.com, covers Major League Baseball. Get him on Twitter at Mike Exisa, AXISA. Mike, appreciate you making time, man. Enjoy the rest of spring training. We'll do it again soon. Thanks.
Sure, happy. Come on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.